Welcome to the Save Your Marriage podcast, dedicated to all the men and women out there who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages. Here, we give you tools, perspectives, and insight into how to save your marriage and have a thriving marriage. This podcast is sponsored by The Fortified Spouse. And now, here's your host, Arturo Henriquez.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. Thank you very much for listening. I just want to invite all the men and women out there to book a private complimentary call with me. We will talk about your particular situation in private and give you lots of guidance and put you on the path to restoring and saving your marriage. Just go to www.fortifiedspouse.com/call. That's C-A-L-L. A few weeks ago, I was talking with a couple on the phone, and in the middle of it all, I realized that the wife was not willing to let go of the hurtful things the husband had done. There's a lot of anger and resentment. And I realized that every step, even if the husband said, "I'm working hard on this and this," the woman was always pushing back, unwilling to see that there was anything possible to change. She was very adamant that nothing was possible in his change. Sure, he was doing something different today, or sure, he was telling me what I wanted to hear, but nothing real could happen. And so at one point, I finally asked the question, do you want to be bitter or do you want to be better? And that's the question I often find that has people stuck when they're in a relationship fight, when they're in the struggle to rebuild a relationship. Sometimes couples sabotaging themselves, sometimes individuals sabotage themselves instead of stepping towards working on the relationship. They hold back. They actually counter anything that they're doing. Sometimes it's around forgiving. You know, someone will tell me that they're not going to forgive until the person apologizes. What they've forgotten is that apologizing and forgiving are a separate process. So they wait and they wait for the other person to apologize. And in the process, keep the process stuck. They refuse to move forward in any way that's helpful for the relationship. Sometimes I watch as people rebuff a spouse that has decided to work on the relationship. You know, they spend a lot of time and effort trying to figure out how to get the spouse to participate back in the relationship. And then a spouse does that. The spouse turns around and starts moving back into the relationship, only for me to watch the person who's trying to save the marriage resist the process of the person coming back in. It was the bitter that was in the process, the bitterness. The person had become so embittered by what had happened that they were unwilling to step into something better. And so I've seen this time and time again when spouses, they're trying so hard and trying so hard, and their spouse, their wife or husband, have not yet responded. And so the person, the spouse that is trying, they begin to get more bitter and bitter and bitter and more hostile and angry towards their wife or husband because they have not come back to the relationship. Because their spouse is not reacting to their changes. And suddenly, the script has changed. They've gotten in their own way of saving the marriage. They've gotten in the way of the process of saving the marriage because of bitterness. So the question is for us to step back and ask, where are we stuck in this bitter stuff? What are we holding on to that's resentful? And when are we moving towards something better? So the better is about rebuilding and reconnecting. And that is the process of saving any relationship. If you think about it, that's the process. Whether it's a marriage relationship or a friendship or anything else, that in order for the relationship to get better, only two things have to happen. You have to rebuild the relationship, meaning being willing to be in the relationship together, spending time together, talking with each other, sharing with each other, which leads to reconnecting, feeling that emotional connection with someone, maybe the physical connection, certainly the spiritual connection when you're sharing what you're hoping without rebuilding and reconnecting. it's impossible to get to something better. Now, I understand that better is based on a combination, really, of empathy, connection, and change. See, empathy is when we are seeing the other person as a human being with flaws, with hurts, with pains, not as our enemy, not as a person who's done us wrong, not as the bad guy or the bad woman of the story, but as human, with human frailties and shortfallings. It's also based on connection. You see, again, we humans are wired for connection. We need that connection. It's wired into us from birth. That's why babies are so desperate to be held and to be cuddled and to be loved, because we are wired for connection the moment we enter this world. We come into the world that way. We move into adulthood that way. And when the connection is not there, that's when relationships get into trouble. So when we reverse that, it's by that connection coming back, and then by change. Yesterday, I was talking with someone on the phone and they said, you know, all I want to do is get back to the relationship we had at the beginning. And my response is, that's not where you want to get back to, because that spot is what got you to this spot. This is how you got here. And for us to get to a different place, there has to be change. And I often say that your relationship as you know it is dead because nobody wants it. Your spouse certainly doesn't want it, and you shouldn't either, because that's why you are in a marriage crisis. You have to start new patterns, a new process, a new dynamic, and that could only happen with real change. There has to be change in the relationship and the change in the people in the relationship. So the process of better is about empathy, connection, and change. And I want to note that all of that requires a lot of effort, and it requires something else that I'll talk about in just a minute. Then there's the bitterness. Bitter is about holding on to the hurt. We hold on to the hurts. We end up nursing our anger into resentment and the resentment into bitterness. Remember, anger is a secondary emotion to the primary emotion of hurt, of pain. So anger comes out when that's hurt within, that's not felt and not expressed and not processed. And it comes out as anger. And if anger is not addressed, it begins to build into this whole system as resentment. And resentment, if left to fester long enough, it leads to bitterness. Simply put, bitterness holds until we're willing to let it go. Nothing makes us hold on to bitterness other than ourselves. Hold on to it. That's why it's the dirty pain. It's because we're choosing to hold on to it. Think about that. We're choosing to hold on to that because we continue to hold the thoughts that keep us in that cycle. That bitterness can keep us away from getting anywhere worthwhile in the relationship because it keeps us stuck in pain. So what are the causes to the bitterness? One is resistance to change. You know, sometimes it's easier to say you want something to change than to actually move towards change. You know, for years I was working with companies who were trying to figure out how to move forward when they were stuck. And what I realized is sometimes they didn't really want to move forward when they were actually stuck. At one point, as I was working with a company that had hired me to work with a senior team to figure out why they weren't moving forward, I finally struck on the fact that the president really didn't want to be in the company or didn't want to be a part of the company anymore, but wasn't willing to admit it. And so every time there was a possibility of change, the president resisted it. The fact is that it happens in relationships too, that we can say that we want something different. We can say that we want a renewed relationship, but unless we back it up with our capacity of changing, we're just going back to the same old relationship. So the first cause of this bitterness is a resistance to change. And the easiest way of doing that is by resisting the spouse's connection. That's the next piece of the puzzle, by the way. Bitterness happens when we resist a spouse's attempt to connect. Now, the reason we do both of those things is because bitterness is also rooted in a victim mentality. It believes that we've been done wrong. We've been wronged. It believes that we are the victims of everything that's happened. People who are bitter are caught up in how they have been the victim of circumstances. Many times, not even seeing the fact that there is some self-identification and self-action that keeps them stuck in that victim place. Because one of the things that happens whenever we build a belief system is that we do self-confirmation. In other words, we begin to see that nothing is changing because we keep looking at the things that aren't changing rather than seeing the places, the opportunities. There might be some change, even an inch of a change. So self-confirmation is when we look for evidence that proves what we already believe to be true. If we believe that we are the victim, we end up looking for proof of that. And as we find more and more proof of that, we're also missing the pieces that push against that, that are anti-proof to that. And so in the process, we self-confirm that. And when we do that, it leads us to the last call, which is an increase in the conflict and disconnection. Many times when people find themselves rooted in that victim mentality, they end up making sure to be staying there. They end up reinforcing the behavior that keeps them locked into that. So many times I've had conversations with both spouses who both firmly believe that they were entirely the victim of the other person. And unfortunately, because they both saw themselves as being victims, anytime either moved, you know, feeling like they had done some great action by moving towards the offender, they quickly pulled back, and so they began to increase the conflict in the disconnection. So if that's the case, if all of that is what causes it, what do we do to get beyond that? The first thing we do is move towards empathy. Empathy is rooted in understanding that the other person is likely not to be trying to cause pain, that there actually is no underlying malice, but is likely trying to do something for themselves to protect themselves. Remember, one of my precepts is that people do the best they can given where they are. It may not be the optimal way to behave, but it's the best they can do given where they are. And the second piece to this that relates is that people generally do things for themselves, not to other people. But if we have a frame that the other person should be doing more, or if we have the frame that they're doing something to us, we've missed the whole empathy piece. Now, another thing that needs to happen in order to get beyond that bitterness is to actually follow a plan. Many times I talk with people who tell me they indeed have a plan. And when we start looking at it, I ask, well, how are you following the plan? And the sad thing is that they have a plan, and it's a pretty good plan, but they don't follow it. So the first thing that has to happen is you've got to follow a plan. And if you don't have a plan, you have to get a plan. The first thing is you have to have the plan and you have to follow it. And in the process, whenever we begin to follow our plan, sometimes the bitterness finds its way out anyway, because we're now taking action towards something. Now, the third thing to do is to practice forgiveness. And as I said earlier, there is a separation between an apology and forgiveness. Many people will think that they have to wait for a spouse to finally apologize before they can forgive, not recognizing that by forgiving, they're releasing themselves, not the other person. They release relieving themselves. This is such a potent piece. The fact is, you don't have to wait any longer for an apology. A lot of times the bitterness is locked into not forgiving. So one way to release the bitterness is through forgiveness, is to work towards it through a step-by-step process. The bitterness begins to evaporate as we find the path to forgiveness. And the fourth thing that I think changes the bitterness is by practicing responsibility. You see, one of the things that often happens is that we convince ourselves that this is not our fault. And if it's not our fault, then we don't have to take any action. But essentially, you're stuck. Whenever we feel like we're in a situation over which we don't have control and have not caused, we are frozen in space. So the question is, how can we accept responsibility and practice responsibility? What I'm very clear about is that I'm not asking anyone to accept responsibility for everything that's gone wrong in life. It doesn't necessarily mean it's your fault. And if you take no responsibility, well, that makes you a victim. But what if you were to look back and say, I see where I played a role. I see where I was dancing my side of this. I see where I was contributing to this. The next step past practicing responsibility is now practicing apologizing. And that's something very important, and we have it embedded in our program. Because done correctly, and trust me, there's a lot more that goes into this than just a mere apology. There's a whole process and things that need to happen for that apology to be real, lasting, and stick beyond the action of just apologizing. And we call it a clean slate because you're essentially cleaning the slate and starting anew. But why do I think it's so important here? You know, sometimes people have told me, people that have gone through the program, that their spouse won't read the apology letter or haven't read the apology letter, and they don't know what to do about that. And my response is that probably more than a spouse reading it is for you to have written it, because it makes a shift to responsibility. One of the best ways that we can practice responsibility is looking back and claiming our place in the process that's gotten us to here. When we can claim that place of responsibility, we can grow and we can change and we can develop. That's what personal development is all about. We've made a shift already inside. We're no longer frozen. We're no longer stuck. We're no longer at the mercy of something over which we had no control and no part or no participation. Once we're there, we can begin to see the places, the opportunities where we can create changes in our lives, the places where we can embrace change in our own lives. When we practice responsibility, we step into a new place, because when we are practicing responsibility, we've moved ourselves away from that bitterness and that victim mentality. So in just those four pieces, you can find a place to shift from bitter to better. Work on empathy, seeing a spouse as human with human flaws and shortcomings and failings, just like all humans have. The second is to make sure you're following a plan that moves you towards connection and change within you. The third thing is to practice forgiveness, to not wait for the spouse to apologize, but to do a preemptive forgiveness so that you're not held back, stuck in the process, and back in that victim mentality. You're not held hostage by everything that's happened before, which leads us to the last piece of practicing responsibility. Remember, responsibility is the ability to respond. It means action, leading, culminating with an apology to a spouse for your role in the process. And that's how you can counteract bitterness, which is a cancer in any relationship. Do these four things. These are the four antidotes to fighting off bitterness, so you can get to a better place, so you can move forward and you can save your marriage. Thank you for listening. Now, I want to introduce you to the Fortified Spouse program that has helped thousands of women and men just like you save their marriages with an 85% success rate. It is based on four fundamental pillars. 1, gain the tools to reconnect with your spouse. 2, understand the differences between men and women so we can appreciate and be more empathetic with our spouse. 3, learn how to gain inner confidence so we are no longer codependent on our spouse. And 4, deal with our insecurities and triggers so we are more emotionally in control and not as easily triggered. If you're interested in learning more about these tools to immediately stabilize the marriage and postpone and delay the divorce or separation or win your spouse back from an affair, then go to www.fortifiedspouse.com and enroll in the program. It is going to change your life. It is going to make you the best version of you, and it has the highest probability of saving your marriage.
You have been listening to the Save Your Marriage podcast for men and women. For further information, visit The Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.